stagsworld.com or www.stagsworld.com. Now, I mentioned on the introduction there that I had a double dose of JD, but I've only gone and filled that with a Coke as well. Jars Coke, good evening, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you, how are you?
Yes, not too bad. Jonathan Delight, good evening, how are you?
I am okay, thanks.
And to yourself, Mr. James Derry, good evening.
Fine, Jamie.
James, I'm going to start with you. The game Saturday, opinions on the performance?
Very, very difficult. I mean, very disappointing that we lost, especially with a goal in injury time. I thought first half we were certainly second best. I thought second half, I thought we controlled it. I thought if one team was going to win, it was going to be us. But that's been the way it's been going of late. But when you consider, I think talking to Billy this morning, we got 9 people queued up for treatment. You know, what can you do? You know, it's ever so difficult.
Especially at a League Division 2 club, where obviously the money's a lot shorter.
That's right.
As a chairman of a Football League Mansfield Town side, this must worry you a lot, though.
Yeah, it's unfortunate the way it's come, and in fact, I'll be honest, I mean, the sooner the end of the season comes, the better, because we're in a no-win situation at the moment. We've got all the guys out. We've got these two guys next to me, you know, they're out, but key people, you know, Jake's out. Jake's the heart, the captain, you know, he makes it work. You know, if he's not there, it's difficult. Really, we're, as I say, in a no-win situation. We just need that one point to make absolutely mathematically certain we're okay. But
I'm going to touch on a point that you mentioned, Billy Dearden. How far away, being honest, truth words, are we from nailing him down? Is either him being our manager next season or sorting as a manager out next season?
No, he will be the manager next season. He will sign this week, guaranteed. I mean, the problem is getting him to sit down. He's busy negotiating contracts with players and talking to players, and of course agents get involved in it, and so it's very difficult tying players down. But Billy's definitely going to be with us next season, and as a manager, and we need to get that signed up this week. The trouble is, it's not been a list of priorities. The priorities are getting the players really signed up.
And are we getting close to that at all times?
Well, the problem is the dreaded agents get involved.
We had a conversation about this.
Yeah, that's the problem. I mean, obviously the one guy that we'd love to see next season is Alex, and we've made him a fantastic offer to stay at the football club for next season. But obviously the agents are getting involved, and he's coming in. I'm sure he'd love to sign, and if there wasn't such a thing as agents, he would do. But you know, you can't blame him. You know, the lad's ambitious. He wants to play at a higher level.
Well, I was going to come on to Alex Baptiste later, but while you've mentioned, we'll talk about it now. With the club having no training facilities, fans boycotting, not promising probably for next year's in regards to players signing, you know, can you fault him for delaying on this contract offer?
Well, you know, as I said to you when I first met you, I said give me a couple of months. I think a lot of things are sorted out. I mean, the training facilities are sorted out for next year. You know, we will have first class training facilities next year, so that's one thing. And there are issues that we need to resolve. A lot of things we're getting sorted out. The commercial side of the, as you know, with the radio station, that's moved forward leaps and bounds, and that's going to, you know, there's a lot of work going to be done in the close season to sign deals up with prospective sponsors, which is going to bring money into the football club. We need that money to attract better players. We've got the nucleus of a good team. We just need a few extra players. What we don't want to do is lose players, you know. So I'm very keen that we bring in 3 or 4 good players to supplement what we've got. What I don't want to see is 3 or 4 really good players, one who's in this room today, going out of the club, you know.
You mentioned, I'm staying on you for the minute, you mentioned there are 3 or 4 players coming into the club. Will we be spending money on players next year, or are we going to rely on free transfers?
If we needed to, we would do, but I think there are going to be so many players available because of the way that the contract system works now. There's an awful lot of players, literally hundreds and hundreds of them, who are going to come out of contract at bigger clubs, you know. So, in a way, I don't see the point in spending maybe 50,000. I'd rather give that into the fund to try and give decent salaries to players to attract them to the football club.
Fair views. That's words of James Derry there. Jonathan Delay, I'm going to move on to you next. John, I interviewed you, I think it was 6-7 weeks ago now, and you and Giles Cope just sat next to you, walked in the studio, and Giles was the one on the crutches. Now I look around, it's you on the crutches. How's the injury?
The progress is quite slow, to be honest. Originally we thought I'd only be out for 2 to 3 weeks, but when I came round from the operation, they told me it was quite worse, and I'd be out between 2 and 3 months. So I just need to work hard, really, just to make sure I'm back for pre-season.
And what training are you currently going through to get yourself back to fitness?
To be honest, there's not much I can do at this stage because I'm on crutches at the moment. So all I can do is work on like my upper body weights, and there's not much else, really.
And Will we see you this season? That's a final question. Do you think we will see you again this season?
No. I've still got to have the crutches for another 4 or 5 weeks, which basically rules me out for the whole season.
Just before, obviously, this happened, Jonathan, since you've left us, we've picked up 2 points in a possible 21 since you got injured with the Notts County game, wasn't it? With 7 games without a win. Fans were talking about that time you being player of the season. Is that a fair view? Wait, in fact, hold on, Giles, player of the season, Jonathan Delia, you was giving some abuse last time. What do you think on that?
No, definitely. I think he's had a very good season. Obviously, the injuries killed him a little bit, you know, which is an injury is not a nice thing in football, you know, but it does happen. But no, definitely, John's been one of our better players this season, so he's definitely going to be up for contention.
John, I'm going to go back to you. Since you've been injured and, you know, you've been off, I know you go to all the games, you watch the games. As a player, sat on that sidelines, you listen to supporters, you listen to fans' views, manager, as a player, where are we going wrong? 7 games without a win, what's happening?
To be honest, I thought at times in the Rochdale game we'd sort of picked up from the disappointing performances in the past. I think not just my injuries, but the injuries to the likes of Jake Buxton and Gareth Jellyman in the last game, and coupled with like little niggles for like Simon Brown and even Alex John Baptiste's playing with a knock. I think that's all contributed in like a lack of form at the moment, really.
And you say, I'm talking to you now, Alex John Baptiste, and you know, we've heard he's been offered a new deal. Do you think will he stay at the club? Do you think?
I'd hope so, because I think he's like one of our better players, and I think if you take him out the side, like we'll struggle a little bit more, because he reads the game so well, and he's just vital to our progress, really.
The man to your right, Giles Coke. Giles, again, your contract expires this season. What the hopes of we seeing you in amber and blue again next year?
Yeah, negotiations are still going on, so hopefully we can get them sorted soon, and hopefully I'll be here next season.
James, I'm coming back over to you again here now. The club at the minute, still a lot of things are happening off the field that we don't know. If you eventually took over the club and took full control, do you think would we sell the ground, the land for development? This is a question we put to you many times. Would the ground and the land be sold for development, or would you look to maintain Field Mill?
I think in the short term, that the problem is that the site obviously has a value, but the retail side is overdone in Mansfield. So especially probably the only thing it could be sold at would have been a supermarket. But given that Tesco's are building a supermarket in the centre of town, that's highly unlikely. So I think in the short term it's unlikely. I mean, because even about the only thing you could sell it for would probably be residential. It's got a value for residential of maybe, I don't know, 6-7 million quid. Right. But it cost had to build a new ground, so there's really no benefit in moving away from the football ground. So I think in the short term we'll certainly be staying at the football ground.
20th of January 2007 was when you took over this club. Obviously, like you said, Rome wasn't built today, that's a fact, but are the footings of this club a lot better off since you started?
I mean, it's not me. I mean, Billy came in a month before. Hopefully, that, you know, I'm helping, and I haven't taken over the club. Mr. Haslam is still the owner of the club, and he still has the final say. But obviously, I've come in to help and try and push the commercial side. There are deals afoot, hopefully, on the Skegby site. I'm talking to developers about that. So things are moving in the right direction. And the nice thing is, we are one of the few football clubs that are still in the black. You know, you say what you like about Keith Haslam. A lot of people are very critical, but you know, this football club is doing a lot better than most of teams outside of the not just even our division. We're doing a lot better than anything outside of the Premiership, really.
Final question before we go to the advert break. We chatted before the show, a bit of breaking news for listeners here. We've had some interest in the club, have we not?
Yeah, we've had an inquiry from Australia, would you believe? So it just shows that it did get out into the big wide world that we actually get an inquiry. I mean,
serious bidder?
Well, you don't know. I mean, all I've done is say, you know, I've emailed them and said, can I have a sight of your proposal? So, you know, who knows? You know, stranger things have happened, so watch this space.
The Players' Lounge.
Mansfield, 103.2.
Coming up after the break, where are they now? I've got former Stags legend Kevin Randall on the phone. You're listening to the number one sports show in Mansfield, after Shield and Bowser. This is the Players' Lounge, Mansfield, 103.2.
Fixed rate home loans.
Definitely.
Discounted home loans.
Absolutely.
Fixed rates for my savings and tax-free savings accounts.
Unquestionably.
Individual personal service.
Every time.
Call centre.
Now you're just being silly. We've no call centres because at the Mansfield Building Society, you'll only ever speak to a local expert with local solutions for you. Call the Mansfield Building Society on 0800 015 7680 or pop into any branch today.
Looking for a car? There are only two places to look. Available Car Castle Donington and AvailableCar.com, where you can view, test drive and buy over 2,000 low-priced cars from £3,000 to £23,000 exclusively at Available Car Castle Donington and AvailableCar.com, voted Britain's used car retailer of the year. AvailableCar.com.
B&J Carpets and Vinyls have the biggest range of carpets and vinyls in the Sutton area. It's not rocket science, it's very simple. At B&J, you see more carpets, you pay less. B&J Carpets on Kirkby Road in Sutton. Call us on 517-667.
Make every day a lovely day at B&J.
You're invited to the event of the year this Saturday, the 21st of April, to celebrate the business successes in our kind of town. It's the inaugural Mansfield 2020 Dinner Dance and Award Ceremony. Enjoy a delicious dinner and the chance to dance until dawn. Plus, there's the fabulous live band Touch and Go to entertain you. There's only a few tables spare, so to book your tickets, call Mansfield 2020 on Mansfield 422-010. That's Mansfield 422-010. Come along, you'll have a ball.
Is this what I've got to read? Mm-hmm. Right. Free independent mortgage advice. Get the right deal, be sure. AMS on Market Square, Shirebrook, 743424. I've got another one. Pay less for your current mortgage. Save money, need I say more? For all building societies, lenders and banks, call 743424. Assured Mortgage Solutions on Shirebrook's Market Square. Call 743424.
The Players' Lounge.
Mansfield, 103.2.
Welcome back. The time is 6:19. My studio guests to my left, Giles Coat, Jonathan Delay and James Derry. And also, I'll just let you know, in Studio 2, Johnny Mullins has sat there, and I'm going to be pulling him through in a minute. He's a bit radio shy. But now, wait on the line. I have a man who's played for Bury, Chesterfield, Notts County, Mansfield Town and York City. He was involved in the 1977 promotion season. Kev Randall, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Kev, whereabouts are you at the minute?
I'm just at home, Jamie, at the moment.
Kevin, to let the listeners at home, what are you currently doing now?
I'm working at Sheffield United at the moment as chief scout. I went there about nearly 7 years ago now, just helping out for 2 weeks, and I've been there ever since. Firstly, coaching the reserves, and then more latterly, doing the chief scouting job.
Now, Kevin, I'm going to come on to that chief scouting job here, but looking back over your Mansfield Town career, you played up with played up front with another legend, Ernie Moss. Do you remember that?
I do. We'd played together for 5 years at Chesterfield and had a very successful partnership, and I'd come to Mansfield and initially played with Ray Clark and then Terry Eccles, and then Ernie, who'd been having a bit of a poor time at Peterborough, joined Mansfield, and we resumed our partnership.
In 1977, I mentioned earlier, you gained promotion. Who were the characters in that 1977 promotion season?
Well, I think one of the greatest assets we had was the two centre, well, sorry, one centre-half and the full-back, Kevin Bird and Colin Frost. I mean, they got 18 goals between them, mostly from set play, so that was a great boost for us, you know.
And
Gordon Hodgson in midfield was very creative, and goalkeeper Rod Arnold, you know, very reliable. So a pretty good team in those days.
And who were the key players quality-wise? Who were the quality players in that side?
Well, Randall was one of them, and
there's only one Kevin Randall.
No, I'm only joking. I mean, Peter Morris had come as player manager, and he was a really class player, and I mean, he could put balls, you know, right to your feet. Johnny Miller had electric shot, electric pace, and a great shot. As I've just mentioned, Gordon Hodgson was a very creative player, and Foster and Bird were, you know, were brilliant at the back as defenders, but also boosted the goal-scoring tally.
I have Stevie Archon in the studio in the back just nodding his head. Remember them days. Now, this date I'm going to give to you, 8th of November 1976. What do you remember of that day?
8th of November, I said, it's not the Reading game, is it?
It's the Reading game. How many goals did you score there?
Well, I had a good night that night. I managed to score four, yeah.
Talk me through that game.
Well, I think I got through early on and I got pulled back by the shirt, and I wondered if the referee had seen it. Anyway, he had, so we were awarded a penalty and I scored that. And then Johnny Miller got down the right and put in a great near post cross, and I sort of put a diving header in and made it two. And then second half, I think we got another penalty, and I smacked that one in, and then to round up the evening I scored another header to make it four, so it was a great night for myself and for Mansfield.
Just before I go on to that game, what are you doing this Saturday?
This Saturday?
Yeah, you score a few goals, and then what are you up to this Saturday?
I'll be out scouting, I'm not quite sure.
Me and James down at Chatwood in there, if you fancy the game this Saturday, we need a goal scorer like yourself. But I'm going to put a clip in front here. I've got these stats just sat in front of me. It's basically, Mansell went to Wrexham in the final match of the season, 14th of May 1977, needing a draw to clinch the Division 3 championships, while Wrexham needed to win to gain promotion. Do you remember that game?
Well, it was very dramatic, that, and there's quite a story behind that game. I'll quickly tell you. I mean, Wrexham had been top of the league all season, looked like running away with the championship, but they just stuttered right at the end. And they played Crystal Palace on the Wednesday before they played us, and after 89 minutes at 2-2, they were promoted. But then Crystal Palace scored in the 89th minute and made it 3-2, which meant they had to draw against us, so they were still favourites to go up. But in the injury time, Palace scored again, made it 4-2, which really put Wrexham under pressure, because that meant they had to beat us. And of course, we were already promoted, so we were playing pretty relaxed. Well, it was a bit of a disaster for Wrexham, because we scored last minute and beat them. And I can remember, we were delighted, obviously, because we won the championship, but the Wrexham players were all in tears in the lounge after the game. They couldn't believe it.
You say about the goal, talk me through that final goal. You played a big part.
Yeah, I think I broke down the right. And the strength of me and Ernie, at my peak, my capability was to beat defenders and cross the ball, and Ernie was a very good header of the ball. But this particular day, I managed to do my thing and get down the right. I think I beat the Welsh international Roberts down the flank, put the ball back, and I think Ian McDonald sort of had a shot blocked, and Ernie banged it in for a late 1-0 winner. So great celebrations, and I believe it's the only time Mansfield have ever been promoted to the old second division, which is now the first division.
I have a clip here from Martin Shorrow. Passer Randall eeled his way past his covering defender right on the byline and chipped the ball in for Ernie Moss to score and send the Mansfield contingent of fans around the goal wild with delight. So no, what a fantastic day. But looking on your playing career, had you always wanted to be a footballer, Kev?
Well, I had as a young lad, but I was a bit of a late developer, and I was never quite sure whether I was going to make it. You know, I started in non-league, a team called Trolls, and they were top of the the non-league North, the Conference North at the moment. And I signed for Bury when I was 20, but struggled a little bit because they had a very good youth team, and I was a little bit, not quite good enough for the first team. I was 20 years old, and there was a very good youth team coming through. So I was a bit in the middle, and I got released, and I was very fortunate that one man had remembered playing at Chesterfield in a reserve game, and he recommended me to them. And after another struggling first season where I was nearly released again, I managed to survive that, and then I had a pretty, enjoyable and successful career at the level I played.
Whilst in a Mansfield shirt, who was the best player you ever faced?
In a Mansfield shirt, the best player I ever faced? Oh, that's a difficult one. I think you'd have to prompt me a little bit on that.
Who's the best player you've ever played against ever, then, in your footballing career?
Well, I think I prefer to mention the best players I've played with.
That was coming up next.
Oh, was it? Sorry. I've played against some good players, but just they don't come to mind. But the best players I've played with was... when I played in Manchester United B team, I played with George Best 3 or 4 times.
What was he like to play alongside?
Well, we were both young lads at that time, so it's difficult to remember. I think he was a few months younger than me, but I do recall him picking this ball up and putting inside and hitting the bar in this game.
And, we're going on to play with there, but what about in the Amber and Blue? Any Mansell names that stick out massively for you? Just name me one Mansell player, best one you played with.
Best one I've played with?
Yeah.
At Mansfield, that was probably the most talented was Peter Morris.
Why was that?
Well, he had the talent. He'd been played in the what is the Premier League now? Played in the First Division, and he'd come back to Mansfield as the manager. And you could tell in training, he had the touch, the awareness, the vision that was just a little bit above us. So I would say, in my short period as a player, he would be the most talented player.
Now, after your playing career, Kevin, you moved into management. You went on to York, succeeding Dev Smith, and you moved down the road to the side we don't like to talk about too much, the Spireyes. But one game I was sat watching Sky Sports late on at night, and the game Chesterfield against Middlesbrough, I can't remember which year it was, but the semi-final of the FA Cup, talk me through that day.
Well, it was 1997, and we'd had a great day beating Wrexham in the sixth round, which meant that we were in the semi-final, which was like really the co-final for us. And it was particularly good for me because it was at Old Trafford, and being a Manchester lad, the first game I'd ever seen in my life was at Old Trafford, so I was quite pleased about that. But obviously it was a big occasion, but obviously we were working, and I think our first intention, with the galaxy of stars that Middlesbrough had,
Ravinelli, Juninho, Emerson,
we sort of set out hoping we weren't going to get humiliated in front of mass audience, you know. Well, after about an hour, we found ourselves 2-0 up, and we didn't really know what to do. But it was just a little bit unfortunate because I'm sure you may well recall that we were 2-1 up, and then we had a shot that went over the line, and between them, the linesman and the referee got a bit of a mix up, and of course the goal didn't count.
Because the linesman gave it, didn't he? The linesman actually gave the goal.
I believe the linesman gave the goal, but instead of standing there with his flag up and signalling the goal, he ran off to the halfway line and for the goal, and they got mixed up between them, and obviously the goal didn't count, and it's probably robbed us of probably the only team from our level to play in a cup final, but that's life.
Back to our side of the border, do you still look for the Mansfield score?
I do. I was a bit disappointed or upset to see they lost. Was it last minute Saturday, I think? Was it to Rochdale?
That's right, lost Rochdale last minute.
Of course, Bill Dearden, who I've known, he comes not far away from where I come from. He's just from down the road at Oldham. I come from Aston-on-the-Lyme. I've known Bill a long time and worked with him at Mansfield. I'm sure he'll do an excellent job there.
Do you still speak to Billy a lot?
Yeah, but yeah, I bump into him regularly on the circuit, and we have a good chat, and I'm pleased he's back and doing well.
Now, I'm going to put you on the spot now, Kevin. Just your title of 9 minute, you're Chief Scout at Sheffield United, is that correct?
Yeah.
Now, just to my left, I have a player, Giles Coe. I was away at Sheffield United watching him for a while, is that true?
Yeah, well, I mean, we're at many games watching many players, and, you know, Giles, I saw him, I think it was the beginning of last season, I was quite impressed with the boy, you know, and I think he's had quite a few injury problems. But, yeah, we have been watching him, and, you know, we watch a lot of players, and we try to keep our eyes on all young talent, you know, that you know, might develop and be able to do as a job.
Card sounding very close to the chest. Another name I'm going to mention to you as well is he's had a successful season here, is Alex John Baptiste. How do you rate him as a player?
Yeah, very good player. I mean, as I say, we watch many young players, but he's another player that we've watched. I mean, he's quite versatile, and I think I've seen him play midfield, fullback, and centre half, and he's obviously got a lot of promise and potential, and a talented player.
Well, final questions I always ask, just to run this one through to Kevin, to let the listeners at home to realise as well, is greatest moment in the Amber and Blue. What was your greatest moment in the Amber and Blue?
Well, it's got to be, from a personal point of view, the four goals, but the greatest has got to be the last game at Wrexham where
clinched promotion.
We clinched promotion. Well, we got promotion, so as I say, we're playing in a pretty relaxed manner, but we got Rod Arnold, who got a very bad knock at half time, didn't really know where he was, so we had to sort of half protect him. But to come through that game and win 1-0 and clinch the championship against some quality teams, Crystal Palace, Brighton and Wrexham at that time were a good team, was great, brilliant, and to put Mansfield in the as I say, the old second division for the first time in its history, and the only time in its history, in fact.
Kevin, thank you ever so much for joining us on Mansfield 103.2. Again, enjoyed speaking to us.
Very good, and I wish Mansfield and the supporters, who were very good to me when I played there, all the best for the future.
The Players' Lounge.
Mansfield 103.2.
Coming up after the break, former Northern Ireland superstar Gerry Armstrong speaks to us live on the phone, plus competition time. I'm taking you all the way up to Chequered Flag at 7.
It's time to call Eversil Roofline to strip off your old worn-out soffits and fascias. And right now, there's free guttering and free downpipes on every soffits and fascia installation. Call Eversil Roofline on 0800 228 220.
When you want to give your room the wow factor, you'll love what we've got at Astra. We've got loads of modern designer rugs, including luxuriously deep and chunky shag pile rugs. They're a space-filling 2 metres long, and you can take one home for £89. You'll love the way it feels, you'll love the price, and you'll love your friends asking you where you got it from too. Get a chunky shag pile rug for £89. It's just one of the many great new products and bargains at Astra. Carpets and flooring on Lowmore Road, Kirkby and Ashfield. If you're looking for a great bargain, you'll love Astra.
Astra, Astra, at a price you want to pay.
This is a car like no other. This is a unique silhouette combined with cutting-edge technology. This is a car photographed 600 times by 54 laser-guided cameras to ensure the ultimate fit and finish. This is a car with 18-inch alloy sports bumpers and seats, leather interior and rear parking assist, all a standard. This is a modern icon. This is the Jaguar S-Type XS. This is the number. Text Jaguar to 60303.
They've got Shaq. They haven't, not quite. But Distinctive Waterlife do have a fantastic range of fish and all the supplies you could possibly need for your pond. Filters and foods, pumps and plants for indoors and out.
They also have crocodiles.
They don't, but they do have a new reptile section. You'll be spoiled for choice. Come and have a look around the Distinctive Waterlife showroom, open 7 days a week at Old Mill Park, Mansfield Woodhouse. Just look for the shark or call Mansfield 647 317.
Music and memories from two mystery albums.
Well. Sale is on this week at Mansfield Carpets.
We're
on
live back in the studio in with me, James Derry, Jonathan Delia, and Giles Coke in the studio. Guys, I'm going to start off with Giles Coke. Giles, it must be killing you, not playing now. How long is it now, 4 months?
It's been 3.5 months, yeah, so it's very disappointing, but I've got my head around it, and I've just got to get fit for pre-season now.
And what things are you doing to get yourself ready for pre-season?
To be honest, I've started jogging, light jogging now, so I could do quite a lot of things now, you know. A lot of strengthening work, still my leg's very weak, so I'm just strengthening that.
And along with yourself, is there no chance that you're going to be, you know, back for this season? That definitely?
Oh, no, it's definitely, yeah, definitely.
Unfortunate. James, you must hear these words and it must kill you.
Yeah, because we're still paying him. it's tragic, really, that we've got so many players out at one time. But I suppose in one way, if you're going to have them out, you might as well have them out now and hopefully back for the start of next season, fit and well and raring to go. You know, that's what we're looking for.
Well, you listen to Match 103.2. The time is 6:33. On the line next, Germany may have won the World Cup. Paolo Rossi may have been the tournament's top goal scorer, and Brian Robson may have scored England's fastest international goal ever. But for the people of Northern Ireland, the 1982 World Cup finals will be also associated with one man. That is of Gerry Armstrong. The former Spurs and Watford striker made history when he scored the winner against the host nation Spain, sending them crashing out of the competition and booked Northern Ireland place in the final group stages. The Sky Sports pundit is here to talk tonight about the Spanish Premier League. Gerry, you there?
I'm there. How are you, Jimmy?
Not too bad. Hello, how are you?
I'm good, pal.
Good. You've just got back into Ireland, haven't you not?
I got in this afternoon. Obviously had a full programme of the weekend of Spanish football on Saturday night and on Sunday night. And it was good. It was good. It was interesting watching Real Madrid play reasonably well, but then lose the match to Racing Santander on the Saturday night, which was disappointing from their point of view. They could have went to the top of the table. And then I watched Sevilla, who also had a chance to go to the top of the table, lose to Valencia, who are a decent side at home.
Gerry, we're going to come up to the Spanish League very shortly, but this year's Champions League semi-finals, no Spanish team. Why is that?
Well, there's the English teams have always been strong. Certainly, even Arsenal could have actually got to the semi-finals had they not lost Thierry Henry, who's a little bit of a special player, I would say. But it's one of those things that the two strongest leagues in Europe or in the world for me, Jamie, are actually the Spanish league and obviously the English Premier. But Spanish teams didn't fare as well. The mighty Chelsea obviously put Ted to Barcelona, who I think are not playing anywhere near as well as they did last year. Real Madrid are a team that's in turmoil. They've had no trophies for 4 years. They're rebuilding. They've got a lot of young players, and there's a lot of changes there. So they came unstuck as well. And Valencia, who are a very good all-round side, came close to knocking Chelsea out. Very close, but a brilliant second half performance from Chelsea saw them home.
Gerry, the season's slowly coming to an end in Spain. That is the league. 8 games left. Three top teams, Barcelona, Sevilla and Real Madrid. Who's going to win it?
My money would be on Barcelona because they did not play well yesterday at the Nou Camp against my old club, Mallorca. And yet Mallorca missed a penalty as well in the first half. And then, what was a minute to go, they had a shot that hit the post, came back and hit a Mallorca defender, went into the back of the net. Now, you need little bits of luck when you're going to win the league championship. And none of the sides at the top have grasped it and sort of said, this is our time, we're going to go and win it. There's been points up for grabs and there's been opportunities to go on and win the league comfortably, but neither side has taken it. But I just feel that Barcelona, because they're in the Champions League and Sevilla's involved still in the UEFA Cup, I think it's going to be Barcelona.
One of the sides you didn't mention there was that of Real Madrid, and you regularly speak to players like such as David Beckham. Now, him moving to the States, do you think that will benefit him?
It's a great move for him. I mean, you know, when you're in your 30s and you get an opportunity to go for 5 years to America, which is sort of still not really been discovered, and he's going to make a massive impact over there. He's got a great brand name, David Beckham, and football could really take off in the States because of him. So it's a great deal for him. Real Madrid have done nothing over the last 3 or 4 years, threatened to do an awful lot 2-3 years ago, but now the likes of Roberto Carlos and Raul has lost his form, Zinedine Zidane has retired, Ronaldo Ronaldo has moved on and he's probably past his best. And I think it's a great move for Beckham.
I'm just looking at Beckham again, but more importantly for us English fans here, do you think his chances of England have gone now moving to America? Will that make a difference?
Yeah, I think that would be his last chance because he's playing abroad in the States. There's no opportunity really for Steve McClaren to watch him. But you never know. I think he'll say never. You never say never. But it makes it a lot more difficult, obviously, because he's playing in a lower standard league, and an opportunity to keep watching him on a weekly basis is obviously not there.
If you were English and you were England manager, would you have him in your side?
Oh, I would have had him in the side from the very outset.
Do you think that's been one of McLaren's biggest errors?
Well, it is and it isn't. I think he was trying to make a point, Jamie, to be honest, because straight after the World Cup, he wanted to lay down the law and show who was boss and that he was in control. But I think he was trying to make a point. But no cliche, you never cut off your nose despite your face. I think England could have done with him over the last three or four games. He was still a very good player, still a great passer of the ball, still had an awful lot to contribute to the England setup. And I would have definitely had him in the squad. He didn't have to pick him. You know, he could have picked Aaron Lennon and said, you know, I'm looking to the future. But you can always have a player of David Beckham's quality in the squad and use him if he can do.
Looking at Barcelona now, Samu Eto, phenomenal talent, what a player he is. Could we see him in the Premier League next season? We've seen some ifs and buts with him and Rijkaard.
Yeah, there's been a lot of... That's one of the problems, I think, at Barcelona this season. You know, politics get involved, and you've got Rijkaard, is he staying or is he going? Ronaldo and Ronaldinho, is he going to stay or is he going to go? And obviously Samuel Eto'o, there's been a lot of argy-bargy there. I think Samuel Eto'o will end up in the Premiership at some stage. Most of the top players would love to play, I think, in the Premiership if they're given the opportunity.
Now, you just mentioned it there about Ronaldinho. He was not involved at all last night in Barcelona's 1-0 victory of your former club, Real Mallorca. Any suspicion that he may be leaving the new camp?
Yeah, there's talk that he could be leaving. There's nothing concrete. I mean, there's always speculation. That's one thing about Spanish football in comparison to English. They speculate even more. They go really over the top. And any sort of a hint of a scandal or a rumour about somebody moving, they throw it in. You know, I had an incident where we discussed last night about Ayala, the centre-half for Valencia, the Argentinian centre-half. You know, he is out of contract this season, and he signed a new contract for next year for another club, Villarreal. And the manager, Kiki Sanchez Flores, didn't really want him to go and said, you know, well, there's a buyout clause of €3 million to keep him at the club. Even though he's still their player, he's going to have to pay €3 million to keep him at the club now because he hasn't signed him on a contract. I mean, there's so many things going on because directors of football don't always get on with the managers. There's been a little bit of conflict of interest, and situations like that happen all the time in Spain.
Now, I'm talking to a man who's played in both La Liga for Real Mallorca and also the top league in England for Spurs. Which is the hardest league to play in and why?
I think the English league is always going to be the hardest because
why is that, Jerry?
It's faster, it's certainly more physical. It's not as physical now for me as it was previously. The rules have changed quite a bit, and it's made it more bearable, I think. But certainly the pace of the game is so much determination, so much attitude involved in it, and the pace is unbelievable. It's frightening. In Spain, there's a lot more skill in Tech League. It's a slower pace, but they keep the ball better.
Now, I had Mickey Quinn last week on the Players' Lounge talking about England underperforming in international tournaments. But
yes.
Why do the Spanish also underperform, Jay? They've not won anything for a long time now.
Well, do you know what? There's a lot of comparisons can be made. You know, you look at the quality players in Spain and the quality players in England, and just because you've got 7, 8, 9 world-class players doesn't mean you've got a team. You know, and a good manager knows to pick the right team to get the best out of them. And I think that's been Spain's problem, and pressure as well. You know, there's a lot of big-name players who play for England and Spain who fold under pressure in the big tournaments. And Spain started the tournament off in the summer off very well in the World Cup. But after the second game, I mean, David Villa got a couple of goals in the first half, and then the manager substituted him. And the manager, I thought, shot himself in the foot. Luis Aragonés shot himself in the foot. They comfortably qualified, but then, you know, they lost their way against France, and France went on to the finals. I mean, I thought Spain could quite easily have beaten France in that match, but technically, I think, and the experience and the bottle of the French players was different class on the night, and that's why they went through.
Now, Jerry, I'm just passing over something to my chairman, Mansfield Town's chairman, James Derry, and the two players in the studio. And this is listeners at home can't see, but it's a photo of you back when you were playing for Tottenham Hotspur. Now,
yeah.
Something that really interests me, how much did it cost to perm your hair in them days?
I don't know, you must ask Kevin Keegan and everybody else who's had a perm. It was the fashion in the late 70s to have a perm. But do you know the beauty of it was? You're training all the time. You're in and out of showers, and it was like you're coming in the training, you're training, you're sweating. You get in the shower, you're coming out. It was great when you had a perm, Jamie. You go into the shower, you shake your hair, you just let it dry. You don't have to get a towel. You don't have to worry about gel and brushing it, what have you. It was just natural.
We've got many females listeners back home. We understand where you're coming from there. But also another interesting point. You were strike partner at Chester, Mansfield 103.2's pundit Phil Walker. He mentioned here that he used to do yours and his running up front. Is that true?
That's probably because I had got the legs he had then.
Jerry.
About wide right to Billy Hamilton, and he knocked it past Tendino down the right hand side and whipped in a fabulous cross into the box, and I could not have got on the end of the cross, but thankfully for me, my mate in goal for the Spanish team, Arganada, decided to come out, and he's knocked the ball straight into my path, and I hammered it into the back of the net, and the rest, as they say, is all history.
You must have got some stick for that after that, didn't you, moving to Spain the following year?
I did. I went to play for Mallorca the following year, and I didn't get much stick, obviously, playing at home from Mallorca. I mean, I was sort of like a folk hero for them. But when I went to the mainland to play against Madrid and against the Barcelona side, and particularly when I went to Valencia, went back to Valencia in the October, I got real dog's abuse. And I was pleased to say that we were losing 2-1 in the Luis Casanova, and picked up the ball 25, 30 yards from goal. Same goal that I scored against for Northern Ireland, and hammered one into the far corner of the net that tied it 2-2, and we walked away with a point, and I got even more dog's abuse when I walked out at the end of that game.
Now, Jerry, that was fantastic. Jerry, final question. You're assistant manager of Northern Ireland underneath Laurie Sanchez. He's now just took over the Fulham job, replacing Chris Coleman. Two options here. Could we possibly see you being the next Northern Ireland manager, or even joining Chris Coleman at Fulham, joining Laurie Sanchez at Fulham?
Well, I won't be joining Laurie Sanchez at Fulham because I'm tied up with Sky, obviously. Contract with Sky for another 2 years. I packed in the Northern Ireland side several months ago because I haven't got the time to do it. I've done 3 years with Laurie and the team, and I've done 4 years previous to that with Brian Hamilton. And with the wife having a baby 6.5 months ago and all the other things I've got on the plate with property development and obviously the Spanish football and what have you, I just didn't have the time, so I'm on the sidelines at the moment watching in.
Watch this space, I want to say, Jerry. Watch this space. Jerry, thank you ever so much for speaking to Mansfield 103.2. It's been a pleasure having you on the show, and all the best the rest of the season.
Yeah, and all the Chesterfield supporters, good luck to them as well. I'm my own.
They'll be all shooting. These are all Mansfield supporters here, so
I remember playing at Mansfield with Tottenham in a very exciting game.
When was that game?
That was when Tottenham were relegated in 1976-77.
Was that 3-0 game?
I think we were losing 3-0, and we came back to draw 3-3. Glenn Hall scored an absolute cracker.
About
20 yards with about 5 minutes to go.
I've got Steve Archer running round the back like mad when he heard that. But hey, thank you ever so much, Jerry, for having your wonderful report, and you take care. Thank you very much.
Mansfield 103.2.
Now next on Players Lounge, it's competition time. On the line, I have a former Stags legend that's going to give a description about himself. And the listeners and Mansfield Town fans, I need you to guess who he is. Can you work out who this is?
Mystery Stags legend.
Mansfield 103.2. Started my career in 1985 for Sheffield Wednesday. Made my debut in 1987. Against Southampton. I enjoyed relegation, promotion, and the cup finals with Sheffield Wednesday. I moved from them after 20 years to Leicester City. And at 12 months at Leicester City, then I had a short spell at Coventry and Leeds United, and then had 12 months and 46 games at Mansfield Town. I now play in Ireland, in Northern Ireland, for Portadown FC.
Mystery Stag Legends.
Mansfield 103.2.
As I just look to my right hand side, the phone lines are buzzing already. Any ideas, get your call in. 666-000 is the number to call. And we have a signed Mansfield Town football for the winner tonight. So it's all a very good price there. Coming up in the final quarter, more gossip and chat with Beast in the studios. And I'm still trying to get Johnny Mullins to come in with me. He's glued to his chair in the studio too. But I've got the sports quiz. Youth versus experience this week. All this, much more. Mansfield 103.2.
Discount Electric, it's the place to be. Discount Electric for all the family. With lots of great deals at Excalibur. It's Discount Electric, they got the lot.
Join us for our £1 million stock clearance. All stock must go. We'll beat any price on the same stock item. And tell us that you've heard this ad and get a further 10% discount. Discount Electric's Market Street, Sutton and Ashfield. They've got the lot. 440-938. Call in today.
Oh, what a lovely shot. First class. That's quality. Seymour Green at his best. It's obviously a Sykes lawn turf pitch, and it's playing a treat.
That's right, me dearies. And whether it's for cricket, bowls, football, or a garden lawn, you'll find the right green to get the best result every time. And at Sykes Lawn Turf, you'll always find the most reasonable prices, whether you collect or we deliver. Beautiful, me dearies! Just beautiful!
Come and see for yourself at Sykes Lawn Turf, Castle Farm, Stripe Road, Tick Hill, or call Doncaster 742286.
And tell them Seymour sent ya!
The Players' Lounge.
Mansfield 103.2.
Welcome back. The time is 6:48. You're in the studio now with Jonathan Delay, Giles Coe, and to my right, James Derry, and another man who's just walked in. Good evening, Mr. Johnny Mullins.
Well, good evening. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. You've been avoiding this radio station like the plague. What's the matter with you?
I've just been watching it work out the back there.
Listen, quick little brief chat with you. Season so far, sum it up for me.
Okay.
Come on, a bit more than that. What do you think, you know, where we are in the position, 18th in the league table at the minute. Next season, what's our hopes for next season?
I think we've got our aim as high as we can. Let's get up into the League One promotion, you know. I think we've got the players to do it, the right manager and the right people in place, so.
I spoke many times to these two as well in the studio. Last seven games, not one win. We've obviously, we know we've got Jonathan Dwyer out, Jake Books out. Any other reasons you can put on to add on to that?
Because he's playing.
That was Giles Coke throwing in there.
Right now, I think the injuries has not helped, but a few decisions from the players on the pitch haven't been good enough, and a few sort of goals that we're not happy with, but we can only just keep going towards the end of the season. As I think James said, we've got to look forward to next season now.
And you obviously, your contract lasts out for this season. You're still on contract for another year, is that correct?
Yes.
And you know, you're playing alongside Jonathan Lyjah's coach. You must, Alex John-Baptiste, another player I mentioned, you must want to see him in a Mansfield shirt next year.
Yeah, it's great to play with Alex. He's brilliant, you know, when he's behind me, he does a lot of my covering, so it's nice to have him here next year to get me out of a little bit more trouble.
Are you saying you take it easy at the back there, Johnny?
Not saying that, I'm just saying he makes it easier.
You guys are looking at me a little bit worried now. It's quiz time. Guys, are you packing for anybody in the studio? Well, originally it was supposed to be Derry versus Delay tonight in the quiz. I now need one of you three to choose who wants to go. Who's the kiss boy? Who's that in the studio? You point to Giles Coe. Who wants to be the chairman tonight?
I'll go with chairman.
Make your way over, Giles. It's the quiz now. Jonathan Delaye and Johnny Mullins take on Giles Coke and James Derry. Guys, it's going to be a question sport type quiz. We've got numbers from 1 to 6. Each one of these numbers relates to a certain question regarding sport. Once one number is chosen, you must choose another one. Oh, and I've got some topics to choose from tonight as well, boys. Okay. Okay, here we go. James and Giles, I'm going to let you choose first. James, you're the chairman, you're the man, you know. Let you choose first. A number, please, between 1 to 6.
It's got to be 1, hasn't it?
Number 1. And guess what? He's chosen football, boys. Football, here we go. I'm going to give you 4 choices as well with this. James, which football league team... Oh, you've got it, sorry. Which football league team are nicknamed the Pilgrims? Is it A, Scarborough, B, Boston, C, Plymouth, or D, Brighton?
Plymouth.
Ooh. Giles, sorry. Giles, what did you nudge him for?
Giles? No, Boston, is it? Oh, it is, yeah, Boston, yeah. Boston. Change my mind.
You changed your mind. Oh, dear me. Giles, was that anything to do with you getting that right?
No. Down to me.
Well, I'm just aware anyway that I've just done here. Actually, Plymouth, I'll call it as well. So, James, you was right. Yeah, there, that's right. There you go. That's one right. I'm in there. Wrong there. Okay, moving over to my left hand side. Joey Mullins and Jonathan Delay. We make a press ourselves very often. Choose a number, please, guys. 1 to 6, but you cannot choose one.
I'll have number 4.
Number 4. I'm looking down my list. Golf. What are you like? I know you play the old game at Rufford Park. What are you like in here?
John Mullins is a golf man.
Are you, Johnny?
Mm-hmm.
Handicap?
About 16.
16? Steady, steady, steady. And the golf. Who recently picked up the 2007 Augusta Masters? Was it A, Tiger Woods, B, Zach Johnson, C, Retief Goosen, or D, Justin Rose?
Zach Johnson.
There we go. It's in the bag there. 1-1, guys. Okay, moving back over to my right-hand side. James Derry, Giles Coe. Here we go. Choose a number 1 to 6.
3.
Number 3, okay, we're looking at athletics here. With which event is Colin Jackson associated? Is it A, decathlon, B, the 110-metre hurdles, C, the 5,000 metres, or D, the high jump?
Well, for the 110
metres. Yeah, it's easy in the bag there. That's it, 2-1. Knows where his bread's buttered. Moving over again to my left-hand side, Mr. Johnny Morris and Jonathan Delaye. Choose me a number, please, between 1 and 6.
2, please.
Number 2, tennis. What do you like at tennis?
John's a big
tight. JD?
Average.
Do you play a bit in the summer?
No.
What do you do in the summer? What do you do in the summer? That's the sign to say you have a cigar out and a few alcoholic beverages.
Just chill out,
yeah, that's the way. Tennis. Wimbledon witnessed one of history's greatest ever Grand Slam finals in 1981. But who was it between? Was it A, John McEnroe and Connors? B, Connors and Bjorg? C, McEnroe and Bjorg? Or D, Ivan Lendl and Chris Lewis? And yeah,
I think we're going to have to guess.
You can have a guess. Do you want to run your choices again? James Derry is jumping up and down.
No, I think
you've
got it.
You think you've got it? You want a bit of confirming, guys?
No, I'll leave this to John.
Johnny D, JD,
yeah,
you ready?
John Mullins has just whispered it's C.
It's C. Is that the Macaron Bjorg?
Yeah.
Correct, guys. 2-2. We're going into the last one. Do you know that one, James?
Yep.
Spot on. Okay. The last two choices we've got left is 5, and they said it then, is number 5 and number 6. James, choose me a number, please.
Number 5.
Number 5. Cricket.
Cricket.
Good at cricket?
Yep.
You like it?
Yep.
2D sport?
Yep.
Any of you two play cricket?
No.
Okay. Cricket. Which two famous Australian cricketers announced their retirement after this 2006-2007
National? Len McGrath and Shane Warne.
Oh, he's done it again there. You nearly as bad as you was last time, Giles.
No,
you Right then, I'm going to my 5 to my left hand side. Number 6 is the only one left, and that is snooker.
Oh.
Gosh, I may even need a tiebreaker question from my studio too in a minute if this one's wrong. Snooker, who is nicknamed the Whirlwind? Is it A, Stephen Hendry, B, Jimmy White, C, Steve Davis, or D, Dennis Taylor?
I think I would be.
That's B. Is that as Jimmy White? Absolutely correct. We are now going to tiebreaker question. I'm just waiting for
all night
tiebreaker question from my studio two guests who are going to bring it through to you very short. Just before they bring that through, guys, looking at this game Saturday, Swindon. Jonathan, I'm going to start with you. Will you be going to the game?
Yeah, I'll be going. Yeah.
What Manchester lineup has Billy got less players to pick from than last Saturday?
Possibly, because I think a couple of people have come off a little bit worse from the game at weekend, but I'm sure whatever team will put out will be looking to put right the wrongs of the previous 6 or 7 games, so I'm sure we'll put in a decent performance.
James, I'm coming back to you. Will you be travelling as well? This midweek, do you know, just looking at the format of how club football club work, do you actually meet up with Billy Dane and discuss things like the team, things like that as well for the Saturday's game?
No, he picks the team. I mean, we leave it to him, you know, it's entirely his decision, and I think that's the way it should be. I think once chairman or chief executives get involved in that, then we're in trouble. But it'd be difficult on Saturday because Swindon, if they win, will get promoted, so they're obviously going to be up for it at home, you know, their fans behind them. Let's hope we can spoil their party.
Giles, just before I go to Johnny Mullins, you going to the game Saturday?
Yeah, I'll be there.
Come on, you put your boots on. Can you play?
I'll try. I'll see.
Okay. Right, anyway, here we go. The final quiz question has come in to join me. Okay. Guys, fingers on buzzers. I want to hear a name shouted out. Get nice and tight to your microphone. Sorry, no buzzers, James. Nice and tight to your microphones. The first name I hear shouted out will be answering the question. Here we go. Who scored England's goal in the 1986 World Cup semi-final against Argentina? I heard JD there. I heard JD. Right in the quarter-final against Argentina. JD, hold on. This could be to wrap the day up.
He doesn't know.
Okay. JD, who scored that famous goal?
I'm going for Gary Lineker.
You sure?
Yeah.
Take the quiz by its name. Jonathan Delaye.
They will not be playing for Manchester on next season.
We just caught Giles, you knew it from my last call.
We all knew that.
We let him have that. We felt sorry for him. Man on crutches and all that.
Well, guys, just for our wrap up, this evening's competition winner was Jeff Beastel from Sutton in Ashfield. We have a signed football in the studio ready for you to be collected this week. And just before we get to our final wrap up, guys, thank you ever so much. You all have enjoyed being here on the show.
Yeah.
Johnny, you're gonna come in and have a full night with us next time, aren't you? Signing game at Swindon. Get behind your team this second. Let's travel away to Swindon if possible. Get 3 points to Stags of this much needed season.
Buy your season tickets now on sale.
Sorry, James, just repeat that again.
Season tickets are on sale, that's from today.
Well, you've heard the words there, season tickets are now on sale for Manchester.
Same price as last year.
That's excellent, that is, as well. It's another incentive for you, Manchester Town fans. Charles, any final closing statements after... So let me just get this straight. You've now entered two quizzes, and you've lost both of them. Am I right in saying that?
This was the chairman's fault this time.
Brave man. Time to wrap up. Sports Talk this Friday evening. Myself, Steve Archon, Phil Walker, and Neil Warnock on the phone. So if I've spoke to... about Kev Randall, about the Sheffield United race, I could talk to him again this Friday evening. Saturday's game away at Swindon. Join Andrew Delahunty from 1:30 p.m. plus full match live commentary from 3 o'clock. Thank you to everybody who called in tonight. It's been absolutely brilliant having you called in, but mainly tonight, thank you to all my guests, Kevin Randall, Jerry Armstrong, and of course James Derry, Giles Cope, Jonathan Delaye, and Johnny Munns. You all enjoyed it, guys.
Yeah.
My production team in the back worked so hard all night, and they've done absolutely super. You know what, I'm all out of breath, guys. This is a competition. I'm absolutely shattered. This has been the Players' Lounge. My name's Jamie Walker. Good night.
Your first and only choice for Mansfield News and Sport.
It's 7 o'clock. I'm Rachel Fersman. A gunman's gone on a shooting spree in the US, killing at least 22 people. It's reported he went to Virginia Tech in Blacksburg looking for his girlfriend and is now said to be among the dead. Police say the shooter targeted a classroom and a dormitory and has had what's been described as an ungodly amount of ammunition on him. The college campus in Blacksburg